This is Patrick Lothian with the daily update of commentary and stories from the First Read section of the John Lothian newsletter for December 18th, 2020. This podcast is sponsored by our friends at Eurex. Visit Eurex.com to learn more about trading MSCI derivatives. We lead off JLN today with this announcement from John Lothian News, the John Lothian News Readership Survey. John Lothian News is conducting a readership survey to determine key demographic information about subscribers to the John Lothian newsletter. This helps us attract sponsors to John Lothian News and keeps costs of JLN down. The questions we ask are quick and easy to answer. To encourage you to complete the survey, we are picking names of three people who complete the survey and will donate $100 to a charity of their choice in their names. During this pandemic time, there are many worthy causes that are near and dear to our readers. Complete the survey and win the chance at being able to direct the $100 donation from JJL Co. To access the survey, look for today's JLN at johnlothiannews.com. Here are the comments and stories from the Hits and Takes section of JLN. John Lothian News has hired Owen Relling as a part-time freelance intern to work on MarketsWiki. Owen is a recent graduate of the University of Iowa with a degree in English and creative writing along with a journalism minor. He graduated with honors. Additionally, Owen is an Eagle Scout from one of my former troops. He attended the World Jamboree in Japan along with my daughter Catherine and two of my other scouts. He also attended the National Jamboree in 2013. He was helped in attending both of those jamborees through the generous help of readers of JLN, including Senator Kelly Loeffler of Georgia and her husband, Ice Chairman and CEO Jeff Sprecher, and also by George Hanley. Owen will be working on quality checks on content in MarketsWiki for exchange contracts to start. In some other JLN personal news, Mike Forrester, JLN producer and videographer extraordinaire, has submitted his resignation and accepted a position with Gate 39 Media. We hired Mike 4 years ago to shoot and edit video for us in Chicago, and he became an essential member of the team, traveling with JLN to London, Stockholm, Boca Raton, and numerous other venues for industry conferences. Mike grew immensely as a journalist and video artist during his tenure at JLN, and it is no surprise his skills and professional approach were in demand. Gate 39 Media is a JLN friend and industry communications and marketing firm. This is the second time we have lost a key employee to an industry communications and marketing firm and a friend of JLN, as Spencer Dorr left us to join 3 Points Communication a couple years ago. Mike and Spencer will be working one floor apart when both companies return to work in their offices. Mike and Spencer were also JLN team members and created the Spread video series that Matt Rabel has taken over. Mike came to JLN on the recommendation of his father, also Mike Forrester Sr., a 50-year member of the Chicago Board of Trade. The first time Mike interviewed with me, he told me he wanted to be a Hollywood director. Reportedly, I told him he had a better chance of becoming a starting point guard for the Chicago Bulls. But what he has become is an accomplished videographer and journalist with an impressive body of work. We wish him and Gate 39 well. One of the real pleasures of being a journalist is being able to ask questions of people on issues you are interested in. Such was the case when I reached out to Broadridge and RJ O'Brien about their recent announcements of a major post-trade technology deal. I was able to interview Justin Llewellyn Jones of Broadridge and Terrence Cahooley of RJO. I have known Justin for a long time and we established trust while he was working with Fidessa, a former sponsor of JLN. I had not met Terry, but he was familiar with me, as is RJO. The deal offers the potential to break the duopoly that has existed for decades in the post-trade technology sector. I wanted to know more and was able to get Justin and Terry to tell me. Check out my interview with both via Zoom on johnlothiannews.com. Lab CFTC has released a digital assets primer. This is updated information about emerging concepts in digital assets, which is important again because Bitcoin is hitting new highs. The last time Lab CFTC released something on digital currencies was a couple months before Bitcoin hit its previous all-time high in 2017. Their Lab CFTC's 2017 primer on virtual currencies was released on October 17, 2017. The OCC is giving a year-end refund to its clearing member firms. Nothing like a nice Christmas present from the OCC. Miami International Holdings has now acquired 100% ownership of the Bermuda Stock Exchange. FIA offering holiday greeting video to members and friends, including a Zoom box of the employees and humorous message about being muted at the end. We have new remembrances of the late George Giro from Rich Bugalato and Martin Mosbacher. Martin is a former Comex public relations executive and now president of Lanson's Intermarket in New York. For the seventh day in a row, we have not received any new contributions to our JLN Markets Wiki Education GoFundMe campaign. Please consider supporting our efforts to preserve industry history by giving to our GoFundMe campaign. If you want to know more about our campaign, there is a video on the GoFundMe, or you can contact me at johnlothian@johnlothian.com. A note from Matt Rabel. CBOE will add another product to its arsenal in the mini derivatives war. In quarter one of 2021, CBOE plans to launch mini Russell 2000 index options. A rep from CBOE said that mini Russell options will be structured like standard Russell options, with the exception, of course, that contracts will be 1/10 the size of standard contracts. Another note from Matt Rabel. Grayscale Investments, a digital assets investment company, now has well over 14 billion assets under management. Thanks to Bitcoin's massive price spike this week, Michael Sonnenschein, managing director of Grayscale Investments, said that Bitcoin hitting 20K plus per coin is not a surprise, and that is a very symbolic threshold to reach at the end of what's been a historic year for Bitcoin. Another note from Matt Rabel, U.S.-based cryptocurrency exchange Coinbase filed a confidential S-1 form with the SEC ahead of their potential IPO, about which they've been teasing to the media since the summer of 2020. For a confidential filing, a curiously large number of people seem to have heard about it already. Figures from crypto Twitter like Melton Demorers and Anthony Pompliano have been tweeting about the news since yesterday afternoon. Now a note from Tom Thompson. Does its recent filing with the SEC explain why Coinbase decided in late November to follow the CFTC's March 2020 guidance and abruptly stopped offering margin trading? Here are some stories from the first read section on today's JLN. JLN has a video today I previously mentioned. Broadridge RJO deal shakes up post-trade business, gives RJO a single platform to grow its burgeoning global business. RJ O'Brien recently announced a major post-trade technology deal with Broadridge to supply RJO with the technology to manage post-trade flows on a global basis. The blockbuster deal gives RJO newer technology to clear its exchange-traded business, as well as other asset classes globally, bringing all of RJO's operations onto the same platform for the first time. From the OCC, OCC to provide year-end refund for clearing member firms. OCC, the world's largest equity derivatives clearing organization, today announced that its board of directors has approved a refund of $156 million to be paid to clearing member firms on April 19, 2021, as part of our ongoing efforts to strengthen OCC's resilience while also delivering operational excellence and efficiency. OCC's board of directors approved this refund for our clearing member firms, said John Davidson, OCC Chief Executive Officer. A comment by John Lothian, what the OCC should have done is issued the refund in the new OCC token and given it to them in the backed wallet. From the CFTC, Lab CFTC releases Digital Assets Primer. The Commodity Futures Trading Commission today released a Digital Assets Primer to provide updated information to the public about emerging concepts in digital assets. The primer is part of a series issued by the CFTC's Innovation Office. Lab CFTC is the second to delve into these issues surrounding digital assets. Comment from John Lothian. Is the CFTC trying to put the high again in Bitcoin? From Lionel Lorett of Bloomberg, Emmanuel Macron has the same problem that King Louis XVI had. France is going to be a critical test case for Europe's ability to speedily immunize its population. When King Louis XVI and his two brothers and his sister-in-law were inoculated against smallpox in 18th century France, the public worried about the risks. Though the experiment was a success, even sparking a new type of hairstyle, the doubts never went away. As vaccines took off in the 19th century, the age of Pasteur, so did resistance, apathy, and distrust. A comment by John Lothian, yes, they have some similar problems, but Macron has more at his disposal to solve them. From Peter Chapman of FT, London's Camden Passage, 60 years of antiques trading. Meet the dealers who recall its pre-gentrified heyday of mods, rockers, and famous clients. Caroline Carrier is discreet about how long she kept a shop in North London's Camden Passage Market. Quite a time, she answered, in a manner which, though polite, suggests I need inquire no further. Comment from John Lothian, I love Camden Market. What a great venue to find unique treasures. From Shalini Nagarajan from Markets Insider, a reporter spent 10 bitcoins on a sushi dinner for dozens of strangers in 2013. Those coins are worth $230,000 today. A tech reporter once lived on bitcoins for a week straight to test how valuable they were in the real world. She bought a bunch of bitcoins in 2013 for 136 each on Coinbase, hoping to use them for daily expenses. On the last night of her experiment, she sent 10 bitcoin to a sushi diner and dozens of strangers. Today, those would be worth about $230,000. The restaurant's owner has now retired from the food business, thanks in part to his cryptocurrency earnings of 41 bitcoins, or $902,000 today. Comment by Matt Rabel, hope the sushi was good. Crypto Markets Wiki Coin of the Week, Bitcoin. Bitcoin, the world's most popular cryptocurrency, this week exceeded $23,000 per bitcoin. The previous high of $19,921 was reached in 2017. Around the same time, the CBOE and CME groups announced the launch of Bitcoin futures. And now, Thursday's top three. Our top story Thursday was the job description for a deputy chief compliance officer at ADM Investment Services in Chicago. Second was the surprise news that 50 years of tax cuts to the rich didn't trickle down. Study says from Bloomberg. The study was done by David Hope of the London School of Economics and Julian Limburg of King's College London. Third was, for the fourth time in the top three list, how Kelly Loeffler's firm facilitated an Enron-like scandal from Mother Jones. Here are your Markets Wiki statistics for the day. 195,255,588 pages viewed, 24,742 pages, and 227,421 edits. This podcast is sponsored by our friends at Eurex. Visit Eurex.com to learn more about trading MSCI derivatives. Thank you for listening to the John Lothian News Daily Update. Please consider telling a friend about our podcast, and if you haven't yet, please write a review on Apple Podcasts. This helps new listeners find us. Also, if you aren't already a John Lothian newsletter subscriber, you can get a free 90-day trial at johnlothiannews.com/trial. A note from John Lothian. Have a great day and stay safe, and treat people the same way you want to be treated, with respect, equality, and justice. This has been Patrick Lothian. Goodbye.